Ephesians chapter 6 and verse number 1, the Bible says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord." We've been talking about passionate parenting. How can we apply parenting principles from the Word of God to our life to help us excel in the relationships that matter most? And today, we want to talk about being a nurturing parent, the nurturing parent. I want to encourage you, have the outline, have a pen. We're going to have to move fast. You're going to have to listen fast and process quickly today for us to get through it. Now, we are commanded by God to nurture our children. The word nurture means to educate or to bring up or to train up. And our children have been commanded by God to obey you and I, to learn from our example. And when you think about that, it means that then, or because of that, then we are commanded to teach and to train and to provide that example. I think some children in some even Christian homes could say, "Man, God's commanded me to obey my parents, but my parents aren't teaching. God commands me to obey my parents, but my parents aren't training. There's not a pattern to follow after." And those of us in His design class, we want to be the kinds of fathers and mothers that are studying the Word of God and then striving to be the best father and mother and teacher that we can be of biblical principles to our homes. We must train our children. Now, by way of introduction, in your notes, which describes your parenting philosophy best? First of all, is it managing behavior or mentoring hearts? Is it about managing behavior or mentoring hearts? What parenting philosophy describes your home? Now, managing behavior is much easier. It's like babysitting. It's only concerned with the short term. It's only concerned with the moment. But it doesn't successfully transfer the way of the Lord to another life. And so it's not long-term planning, but it is short-term solution. The scary thing about that approach is that the behavior changes when we're not there to manage it. Have you ever watched your children in a different setting when they didn't know you could see them? And you saw some behavior in them that shocked you? That you kind of thought, what in the world? And then the minute that their eyes made contact with your eyes, they stopped. Because now they knew they were being watched by father and mother. The management of behavior is only good when the manager can be present. But when we can teach our children to live obedient to the ever-present Lord, there's such a difference there. And so we have to be careful about that. The superior method is certainly mentoring hearts. Now, this philosophy in the Christian home is one that creates a pattern for them to follow after and long-term fruit. But mentoring takes time. It takes training, teaching, investment, and sacrifice. It requires you and I to practice what it is that we're teaching. We've talked about that in this series. It requires us to make the truth practical. We don't want everything to be over the heads of our kids, and we want it to be practicable. We want them to be able to apply it and implement it and live it out in their life. And it's much more difficult to be a mentoring, a heart-type parent. It's less immediately visible. You can pour a whole day into mentoring hearts and not see any progress, because sometimes it's just going to take time. It's less measurable, it's less tangible than managing behavior, but the results last a lifetime. There's something about the pursuit of mentoring the heart. And good behavior can be the product of one of two things. Good behavior can either be a right heart or a stealthy heart. It can either be a child that truly is under the influence of mentoring, or it can be under the auspices of a parent who's managing behavior, but that child knows when I'm out from underneath that, I can do whatever it is I want. And when Paul was examining the life of Timothy in 2 Timothy 1:5, he says, "When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee." Paul said, "Timothy, I see faith in you that is unfeigned." The word unfeigned means genuine, sincere, and without hypocrisy. And I think when you and I think about instilling a faith into the lives of our boys and girls, we want genuine, sincere, and without hypocrisy. We want it to be the same when we're there or when we're not there. We want it to be the same in our home or when they have their own home. We want it to be the same now and 10 years from now. We want an unfeigned faith instilled in the heart of our children. And to accomplish that, we have to determine to be nurturing parents. We have to nurture our children. We have to have the right kind of relationship. Now notice this in your notes. The Christian life is all about relationships because right relationships allow for the growth. The right growth to happen comes from relationships. And then right relationships allow for the growth of right beliefs. And right beliefs will produce right behavior. So if we want a behavior in our child that is right and is going to last, we've got to back it all the way up to, do we have the right relationship with our child? Are we nurturing that relationship? And then are we teaching them through that relationship to have the right belief system? Do they have the right foundation? And then from that belief system, that will determine ultimately their behavior. We want to make sure the relationship is right, the belief is right, so that it produces the right behavior. And in all of that, there is a flow. There is a pattern that happens where we as moms and dads are saying to our children, we love you unconditionally. We're going to teach and train you biblically so that you will live honorably before the Lord. Never forget that short view parenting builds behavior, but long view parenting builds belief. And we want to be in the belief building business because if the belief is right, the behavior will follow. And we want to make sure we're in that mentoring heart. So how do we do that? First of all, let's discover what is nurture. When we're talking about nurturing a relationship, what are we speaking of when God says in Ephesians 6:4 that we're to bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord? What does the word nurture look like in a parent-child relationship? First of all, letter A, it is the process that involves training. It is a process involving training. Now, training is teaching with the expectation they're going to do what you're telling them to do. That's training. And we want to make sure we're training. The Bible says in Proverbs 22:6, train up a child in the way he should go. When he is old, he will not depart from it. He'll not be able to escape the instruction of which he has been given. So we are to train and be involved in the process of training. But letter B, nurturing would also include a process involving teaching, making sure there is verbal instruction. You and I will not successfully nurture any relationship if we don't speak. Sometimes in marriage, there's difficulty, and one spouse will say, if they would just talk, if they would just communicate, if they would just open up, if they would just be willing to work things out, everything would be better. There has to be communication. There has to be teaching, and we have to be willing to teach our children when it's inconvenient, when we're tired, when we have something else we could be doing. All of that set aside, we have to be involved in the teaching element. Letter C, it is a process involving educating, making sure that our children are enlightened, that they understand, and that they're forming a pattern that is right and pleasing to the Lord. Our children are naturally in a state of learning. They have lots of questions. They're inquisitive. They want to know how things work, and we want to take advantage of that to educate them in a biblical way. We want to make sure we're responsible for those who are speaking into their life and those who are influencing their life. You need to know who's influencing your child. Brother Sean mentioned the meeting next Sunday about the Christian school, and I'm so thankful for the ministry of Lancaster Baptist School, and one of the things that I'm most grateful for through that ministry is that I know who's influencing my children. I know who they're under and who that person is, and the fact that they are a Christian and that they're praying for my child and that we are in agreement in expectations in the life of my child. And that's a wonderful, wonderful thing. And we want to make sure that we're careful involving education and the nurturing process. But then letter D, it is a process involving cultivating the life of a child. Cultivating the life of a child. Think about this with me for a moment. Your child is a gift to you from God. God created them for a distinct purpose. God has a plan for the life of your child, something only they can accomplish if they will fulfill God's will for their life. And you know who God gave them to prepare them for that? You. You play a significant role in your child standing before God and someday hearing, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." None of us want our child to not reach their potential because of our lack of involvement or training or nurturing in their life. And nurturing is seeing the big picture. It's cultivating a life for Christ. It's the life of a child that God gave to us and the responsibility that we have to form it in a way that honors and pleases the Lord. Letter E then also includes the development of the mind. The development of the mind. It's making sure that we're making big of that development. Our children should be far surpassing us in many ways, in many areas, because we are being sure that an investment is being made in their life. And there's an accountability there. And even from the practical sense, that they're doing their best in everything they do. Listen, a straight-A student may not be everybody's best, but what they're doing should be their best. It should be the expectation in your house that whatever we do, we're going to do it as unto the Lord. Whatsoever our hand find it to do, do it with all thy might. If we're going to do geography, if we're going to do literature, if we're going to do calculus, if we're going to do whatever the case may be, we're going to do it to the best of our ability. That's just the standard of our home, because we want to nurture children to do whatever they do as unto the Lord. Because who knows what God's going to ask them to do someday, but they should have developed a habit of excellence, to do it their very best, and even in the area of the development of their mind. But then the ref, it includes the development of the morals, of the morals. We see the moral decay in our country today, and we see the world that our children are living in. Brother Jonathan and I were talking about this before class, and some of the recent events in Orlando, and some of the other things that are going on, and we live in a morally challenged society. There's no doubt about that. Okay. So where are our children going to get their morals? Jess and I were talking about this last night. Because the fine line for every parent is teaching the Word of God and then praying that the child will receive it. Because if we teach the Word of God in a, "Bless God, this is what I said, and that's what you got to do," that may work for a season, but at some point in time, it's got to become theirs. If it doesn't become theirs, they're happy to manage their behavior in our home. But once they're out of our home, it's see ya. And we don't want see ya kind of fruit. We want the kind of fruit that for their generation and the next generation, it's continuing to pass down the truths of the Word of God. Which means we have an incredible responsibility to teach the Word of God and then to get on our knees and on our face before God and say, "God, help my child or help my children to embrace the truth of the Word of God." Because I don't know what America is going to look like in 10 or 20 years. But if in the last 10 or 20 years is any indication, it's not going to be easy to be a Bible-believing Christian that has morals and values based on the Scriptures. And we better give them enough that they can stand. We want to make sure we're working on that in our nurturing. But letter G, it also involves the development of the body. Of the body. And not just maybe our thumbs and our video gaming, but you know, the whole body. And we want to make sure that our kids are involved in sports or outdoor stuff or getting dirty or just staying physically in shape for the Lord. Why? Because God has given us one body to serve Him with. And we want to make sure that we can serve God our whole life. If you were in the 8:30 service this morning, Dr. Don Siss stood in his early 80s and preached the Word of God. And I sat down in the front row with Mariah and I thought, I hope at 80 whatever he is, that's what I'm doing. I just want to continue to serve the Lord. And we saw several servants this week in their 80s. And Dr. Getch's mom, who taught this class last week, 87, still the full-time secretary of the church she attends in the state of Wisconsin. And a part of that was just caring for the body. And we want to make sure that we're nurturing our children to do that as well, to have balance on all those things. And I'm not saying that there's not a place for entertainment and some other things. There's a place for all those things and balance. But make sure that we're nurturing the body as well. Letter H, it involves correction. We're going to talk more about that in this series later on. But we, as we nurture, it needs to involve correction because we must inspect what we expect. And letter I, it involves chastening. It involves chastening. The Bible talks about the love of the Father and that He chasteneth B times. many times. God doesn't give up on a child. He just keeps going at it and going at it and going at it. And if your child is not going to walk the walk, and if they're not going to embrace the things of God, and if they're not going to live out truth, it needs to be, it wasn't because you were refusing to give the effort necessary. You don't ever want to come to the place as a father or mother where in your heart you just say, forget it. I give up. We can't afford you to give up. You just got to stay at it. You got to ask God for strength and grace and stay at it. Your children need it, and it'll make a difference in their life. So we've got to nurture, and you just look at some of those descriptives, and we could have thrown 10 more in there, but these are things to help us understand. Wow, nurturing a child, that's a big responsibility. There's a lot to that. But then secondly, what does nurturing look like? What does nurture look like? And if we'll embrace this responsibility to proactively teach and train our children, which is what biblical nurture is all about, and keeping our eyes and ears open and to the leading of the Spirit to take opportunity to do so, it'll be incredible how many opportunities we have. And listen, all of us in this room, and moms and dads, were guilty of missing out on opportunities to train our children because we just got too busy. And something happened, and we could have trained, or we could have spoken into their life, or we could have said something, but we missed it because we were distracted. Maybe we weren't even there when we should have been. Maybe something else was going on that we gave a higher priority to that truly wasn't a higher priority. But we're all challenged that if we're going to nurture and invest this kind of effort into the training of our children, that we have to prioritize our lives. And God is number one, and our spouse is number two, and our children are number three. And nothing else, four and below, should ever take their place in biblical priorities and values. And we want to make sure that we're careful to protect their place so that they're getting from us what they need and so that we can nurture them. Why? Because through their developmental years, our children are going to have lots of questions, and they will insist on answers. And if we don't have time to answer the questions, they'll go elsewhere. And usually wherever else they go, they're going to get answers we don't want them to have. And you know whose fault that is? Ours. Why? Because if we want to have them the right answers, then we better make time for the questions. We better delight in their questions. And they better know that we do. And that we want that dialogue open and we want to keep it going throughout the developmental years of their life. But Schmidt said, you are the truth bearer for your children. Give them truth against which they can measure all other false information that culture will throw their way. They need the truth and they need to hear it from you. And then thirdly, we see God's instructions on nurture. It is so vital that we listen to the Spirit of God and we follow the pattern that we find in the Word of God. Notice with me in Deuteronomy 6, and we're moving quickly, but I want you to get this as we close. And these things which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children. Thou shalt talk with them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And they shall bind them for a sign upon thy hand, and thou shalt be as frontlets between thine eyes, and thou shalt write them upon the posts of thy house and on thy gates. Now, the Lord is instructing the fathers here, teach the truth of the Word of God to your children, and then He's giving them some practical application. Here's how you do it. He talks about when thou sittest down in thy house, when thou sittest in thy house. Now, there could be a formal application of that, that we are to have a family devotion time, a family altar time, a family Bible time where we're gathering together and the family knows this is a time we come together and we worship. For our family, it's right before bed. For some families, it's after dinner. For some families, it's in the morning. But the key ingredient is in this family altar time that you read the Word of God, that you sing unto the Lord, and that you pray. Those are three vital ingredients to family worship: singing, reading, and praying. But then the other times of sitting in thy house are the informal times, when just something happens, maybe an event that occurred during the week and get on the news, or maybe something that they ran into in school that happened, they have a question, but just where something pops up and it provides a spontaneous opportunity for training. We want to be sensitive to the leading of the Spirit and take advantage of those. So he says, when thou sittest in the house. Then he talks about when thou liest down. The Lord says, I want you to train. And that would certainly be bedtime. And there should be a systematic way you end the day. Maybe it's with prayer. Maybe it's with some scripture. Maybe it's crawling in bed or kneeling by the bedside of your child and having prayer with them or praying for them. But closing the day in the right way. Then he talks about when thou risest up. And the Lord says, take advantage of when you get the day underway. Teach your children. This is the day the Lord hath made. And we will rejoice and be glad in it. Remind them of the promise in Joshua 1:8 that we are to be in the Word of God both day and night. And then we shall have success and progress in our life. And we want to teach our children the importance of that. It doesn't matter what age. We may assist more when they're younger. They may get more independent when they're older. But the habit has got to be there continually through. Then he says, when thou walkest by the way. Now in Bible times, they walked everywhere. And when you're walking with your child, you can apply that. But I think in our time, it would be when you're driving around, when you're driving to school, when you're alone with a child in the car, take advantage of those opportunities to teach and to train your children. Then Moses said, and write them on the posts of thy house. And God was instructing Moses and the followers to get the Word of God all over their home. And I believe that God wants our homes to be distinct and to be Christian. And there should be scriptures up on the wall, and there should be things that distinctly mark our home as a Christian home. The Bible says in Proverbs 1:8, my son, hear the instruction of thy father and forsake not the law of thy mother. And I want to challenge you and I today as we close. It is difficult for our children to hear what we are not saying. We must teach and train our children. And if you and I are faithful to nurture, to train, to give, then our children can receive and apply and implement in their life. Never forget, short view parenting builds behavior. Long view parenting builds belief. Let's not be in this just to manage behavior. Let's instill biblical belief that for the long haul, this child will have truth and be able to live it and to pass it on to the next generation as well. Heavenly Father, we love you and we thank you so much for your precious word. Lord, thank you for our class and how you're blessing. Lord, I thankful for every father, and I pray that today would be such a special day for them on this Father's Day. And then, Lord, I pray that you would bless us this week. And even as we saw in the video, may we be willing just to invite a coworker to church and to be a faithful witness and then help us apply this lesson. May we be nurturing parents, taking advantage of every opportunity to instill truth in the hearts of our children. Bless all the families represented in our class this week. Watch over them and to bless them with your hand of favor. Be with Shante and Hugo and little Arnold today, we pray. And then, Lord, we pray to bring us back safely next Sunday and continue to work in our hearts and in our homes, for which we promise to praise and thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.